Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
The US inflation rate swelled to a 39-year high of 6.8% as Americans pay higher prices for almost everything. This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Iddine Boumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, it's Peter Tuckman from the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Always a pleasure. Nice to see you. I love that Salah is wearing the Lacoste, and I am also wearing Lacoste.
All right.
So we get soon we'll have an endorsement. Go ahead. Nice to see you, everyone.
Peter, one question maybe before we start. How long you are wearing this 588 or 588? Is it your number since
32 years.
Oh, amazing. Nice.
It's a lucky number.
Yeah, definitely.
Guys, so good to see you. I'm happy to be back with you guys. And Peter, paychecks aren't buying as much as they used to be. Do you feel this already in the US?
Absolutely. Thanks for the question. Good to be here with you guys. Look, the inflation number did come out. It already, we felt it here that it was going to be a high number. And I think you're feeling it in absolutely everything. And I mean, we can go on to discuss why it is and whether it's transitory or not. But clearly, you're seeing it at the gas tank. You're seeing it for house supplies. I know that I went out to buy some lumber for my home and the price of a 2x4 went from $8 to $60, a piece of plywood. So we're seeing it there. We're seeing it in food. We're seeing it across the board. So yes, inflation is here. The funny question is what we heard last week when Mr. Powell went in front of Congress was he said, I think we may have to bury the word transitory, which was what the Federal Reserve had been using as a word to describe inflation that we're seeing obviously as a function of the world coming out of a complete economic shutdown. And that's a much longer story, which is a story I love to talk about because we know why inflation is here. We know that we're just coming out, hopefully out of an economic shutdown. We are coming out of COVID. We do have companies globally that had to shut themselves down to protect against no demand during the height of the pandemic. And as everybody gets their world back together and supply chain issues and the price of labor and all that is going to be inflationary. So it's here to stay. But the word that the Federal Reserve had been using was transitory, that perhaps the economy would be able to absorb the higher prices and that we would be able to deal with it going down the line. And that once everybody was up and running and the engines were greased and things were going, that things would settle back down. What ended up happening, and Mr. Powell did testify last week about it, that we should bury the word transitory, inflation is here to stay. And that was what kind of spooked the markets last week. You know, that is something that people do have fear about, that if in fact you are gonna get a raise, that people are gonna have to pay more to get this incredibly large new labor force back to work, net net, if there's a 6.8 inflation and you raise it to a $15 minimum wage, net net, you're not making any more money.
Peter, but maybe one more question. On the other hand, corporate America is making good money. Those companies are successful. How is everything coming together? The high inflation rate, the wages, and corporate America, which good earnings?
That is a story. That is sort of a pet peeve that a lot of people talk about at times of economic troubles and this and that, that the guys at the top, the big corporate guys, are making crazy bonuses, even though they're laying people off. We've seen it throughout history, right? At times of economic good times and bad times, the guys at the top are getting $100 million bonuses, whether their company lost money or didn't lose money. So you know what? Is it upsetting to me? It's not a battle I choose to fight over. You know, I work hard. I try and make a good living to support my family. That's one thing. I am not, although I would maybe prefer to be, one of the guys at the top who have $50 million bonus packages because their company did very well, you know, coming out of the pandemic and whatnot. So is there a trickle-down effect for the people at the top having done well with their corporations, earnings, guidance, and whatnot, down to the small worker, to the regular person on the street? I don't think so. I mean, we are seeing that 4.2 million people quit their jobs in August, that we're having to pay people a higher price to get back to work, that there's a big push for a minimum wage to be raised to $15, you know, and is the everyday Joe making more money because the corporate bigwigs had a really great year? I don't believe so, no.
Guys, let's have a look to the chart of the week. Sala, you brought us the mid-month effect. What can we see here?
First, we can see that the year is almost is coming to the end. So it's the last mid-month effect trading strategy or signal that we can have. It's December. We can see the performance, the past performance of this year, which shows us a positive tendency between 9 and 11 trading day. And on Friday, we started because it was the eighth trading day. We are starting with closing the eighth of trading day. Today, Monday, it's starting with the 11th trading day. And we could see a bullish tendency going forward for the next 3 days. I checked also technical analysis. We are starting a new uptrend, maybe confirming the year-end rally. VIX is dropping down as after the spike that we have seen, which is also good. And I looked on the fear and greed index, which is still on fear. And I use the sentiment. This is also a question that I will go to Peter afterwards. I use the sentiment as a contraindicator. So if I see panic on the market, I buy. If I see euphoria on the market, I sell. Not only looking on the fear and greed index, but this is how I use the sentiment. And we see it's now bearish, it's on fear. And this is maybe also a third confirmation that now we could see in this week that we can see a nice bullish momentum over here, pushing over 36,000 on a constant level.
I think it's really important, and I've been talking about it for a number of days now, guys. Last week, if you look at the last seven trading days coming into today being Monday, we've seen some of the biggest volatility I've ever seen in my life. And I will go through it one day at a time, because surely in my career of 35 years, I've seen bigger up days, bigger down days, I've seen crisis and volatility. But if we go back to that day that we set ourselves up for in so many different ways, the massive sell-off of 900 points on the post on the Friday post Thanksgiving, and then the days that transpired going forward, and I can go into them one day at a time. We have so many moving parts here. Yes, obviously the VIX is a sentiment of fear. We did see the VIX spike up quite radically already in advance of that Friday sell-off, meaning that people were sort of setting themselves up for something that was going to happen, whether it was the virus vaccine volatility or whether the market was trading at sort of a level of high. We had seen that week prior that even though the market was only trading a few percent off its highs, there were some stocks, there was some selling going on in some of these high-flying names that was quite volatile. And there was also some tax selling. I mentioned it last week with Manuel. Also, that what I find is at the end of November, there are a lot of hedge funds that close out their books at the end of November, right? Because they don't really want to turn a winning year into a losing year. That there are a number of moving parts in December that can either be positive or negative. But if I'm a hedge fund, I'm up 20% for the year. Why would I ever want to risk turning that away in a year that's been so volatile? But if we go back to what happened last week, it's quite something. Obviously, we had a day off on Thursday coming into a long weekend. We had an aborted or a shortened trading day on Friday. The news of the Omicron came in and the media pumped it in a way that felt a little bit overreaction in many ways. Perhaps or perhaps not, we don't know that. But a lack of liquidity on a half a trading day after a holiday. And a virus that's now resurging around the world that's causing a lot of anxiety caused the major sell-off on Friday. Then we came into Monday. We had a bit of a dead cat bounce. We were up about 350. That was sort of a weak indicator that we were in an oversold mode and that people should be buying some enthusiasm. You're coming into the beginning of the month, and I know Salah talks about this every month, that the beginning of the month is fresh money coming in, whether it's pension funds, people putting fresh money, whatever it is, there's allocation of new funds coming into the market in the beginning of the month. We actually had a whole conversation, the three of us, about it last month, that we said that first week, the historic data proves that there's fresh money coming in and we should have a bullish bet. We had an up 350 on Monday. We had a market that came in a little bit with some enthusiasm on Tuesday, although midday Tuesday, it kind of broke down and we closed even money. We came in on Monday, on Wednesday, and there was a lot of enthusiasm. Okay, it's time to buy this market. Let's go. Fresh money coming into December. And then we were confronted by Jay Powell going in front of Congress, talking about burying the transitional word, and we had a reversal. And reversals, as I know Salah, who tracks historic data, is quite an indicator of the market being quite fragile. We were up 500 at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Jay Powell started talking about the transitional inflation story, and we ended up closing down 500, being a 1,000-point reversal. We came in on Thursday, and the market was looking for him to pull back his story, to talk back or walk back the story about transitional, and they didn't do it. And that caused some fragility in the market. Thursday, the enthusiasm was back, the fresh money was back, and the fresh money was sort of hesitant to come in with all these moving parts of a possible perfect storm coming in. But on Thursday, they did come in, and they rebounded the market up about 600. We came back in on Friday, and that little voice in their head about the transition story sort of ate away at their confidence. We saw a reaction in the VIX. We saw the market close down a bit on Friday and look kind of weak coming into a weekend. People who had made money on this rally on Thursday felt that maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe a story is going to come out on Sunday that the virus is worse than we think. Why wouldn't I take my profits when I can? December historically can be choppy. In up years, we tend to see a little bit of a sell-off if people take profits. We do see tax selling on some stocks that were painful, right? We've seen Alibaba get cut in half. We've seen Peloton get cut in third. We've seen Zoom get decimated. We saw DocuSign sell off $120. That was one of the favorites of the COVID experience. That went from 30 to 270 on bad earnings last week. It went down $137, guys. So the movements, the volatility are wild. I agree with Salah's sentiments about a bullish thing coming into the end of December, but we've got a lot of moving parts. So I think anything can happen.
Peter, different topic right now, but we see that more and more, I think. The Chinese app Didi wants to delist from the New York Stock Exchange and pursue a listing in Hong Kong. Do you see like a rising political pressure there?
I see rising political pressure. I see a lot of political unknowns. I see an irresponsibility in the way that deal was handled. I was in Didi the day it went public. I was in Baba the day it went public. There's a great photo of me and Jack Ma standing next to each other. We were always sort of laughing because we were the two shortest people on the floor of the stock exchange that day. He's a short little guy like me. But I was in the crowd on the day of Didi going public. There was a lot of fanfare, one of the biggest deals ever since Baba, especially of a Chinese company. There had been a lot of hype about this Chinese deal and whatnot. The deal came to the market at $14. It opened at $16.48, I believe. And there was a lot of enthusiasm. It was a 300 million share deal. It was a big deal. And within 1 week, the stock was trading at $8, guys. And the whole Chinese sector got decimated because the Chinese government came out with some release about, I don't know the whole story. I was sort of really hurt by the story because I was in the stock for a customer who had a large position. And I think they got pretty smacked around by that. But the stock got cut in half over the next week, month, and quarter since then, as all the Chinese stocks have done. Alibaba down from 370 to one, down below $100 last week, right? It's bounced back a little bit now. It's a story coming out of regulation out of the Chinese government about their questionability about accounting practices and whatnot. So is it a sentiment about political pressure? For sure. Is it a question of a mixed message coming out of the Chinese government about what's going on with regulation and companies about like that and all that? I don't understand the story. If you're going to list a company like that, this is the kind of homework that should have been done beforehand. To list a company at 14, open at 16.48, and within a week or two, have the rug pulled out from under you with information that should have been, that due diligence should have brought us beforehand, I think is irresponsible, at best.
Peter, we talked about meme stocks, actually, a lot of, yeah, oftentimes, But now I recognize you are a meme right now. I've seen on Reddit, for example, that people are going crazy if they see your image on TV or if something happening on the market and you are coming up, then it's breaking the heart of people. They are happy, and this shows like a parallelism to bullishness. That's why I want to go back to you and ask you, next year, do you have any sector, any market where would you say, hey, not because it will be bullish or bearish, but it could be an interesting market where people could focus on?
So look, I'm excited about becoming a meme. At the time I became a meme, I didn't really know what a meme was. I had to ask somebody when they sent me a picture and says, you've become a meme. I said, I don't, what does that mean? What does that meme mean? Anyway, and I'm happy about it. And I think, look, I think this is an important story, and I think the three of us should spend one whole day talking about it. But look at the phenomenon that's happened since COVID, right? I just did an interview with a gentleman here on the floor a couple of days ago, talking about the democratization of the trading community, of the investment community, the fact that we have 40 million new traders coming into the market since COVID, whether it's a function of Robinhood or Reddit, or being sheltered in place, or the fact that everybody with an iPhone and $100 can trade the market, whether the barriers to entry have been shut down and whatnot. And we've seen a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm, and a lot of passion of these 40 million plus new traders that are into the market. I've chosen, in my illustrious way of being somebody who's been around for a long time, as opposed to sort of pushing these people away, I've realized that this is a phenomenon that's here to stay. And that I think it behooves me as one of the long timers here at the Stock Exchange to embrace and to curate and to coddle this new generation of traders, because they will be the next generation of traders. And if we don't curate them, they've come to this market thinking they have diamond hands and thinking that this is a get rich quick scheme. And they think that you can buy a GameStop at two and it goes to 400 and everybody on Reddit said it's going to the moon and it goes back to 150 and they all lost all their money. They think this is a funny thing and it's all fine and good. I love the fact that finally, after decades and decades of having only credited investors involved in the market, that everyone with an iPhone and $100 can trade the market. I love that. And I've chosen to really embrace this community, probably why I've become a meme. But I think that if we curate and educate these young people, young and old, white and black, men and women, everybody who are now trading the market with inexperience, with a bit of amateurish in so many ways, with not understanding the premises of technical analysis, with not understanding that you never turn a winning trade into a losing trade, with the premise that you don't understand that taking no one got broke taking a profit. If we're able, and I think it behooves you, me, and Manuel, to really embrace this community, which I'm doing, and I will happily open them up to you, and tell them that this is amazing they've been invited to this party, finally, and that if they don't act responsibly, they can come to the party, they can have one tequila, have a fun time, go home, and it's all fine and good. Or they can come to this party irresponsibly and drink too much and throw up and be angry and blame it on me that I ruined their evening. You know what I'm saying? That's my analogy. It's the come to the party analogy. I think that the future of 2022 could be spectacular. Obviously, we're going to have an interest rate raise coming into this experience because the economy is rebounding, because eventually we're going to be out of this COVID story, and because we need it relative to inflation and the yield curve and all that other stuff. We're going to start the taper in here, and like I guess we probably started it last week. And so we're going to unwind a lot of that stimulus that came into the market, and we're going to raise interest rates into the market just to protect everything that's going on. It may put a little bit of a cap in the market, but I don't think so. But I think it's going to be an extraordinary year for the market, for the new generation of traders, for the retail trader per se, for you guys at IG and whatnot, who are the ultimate point of execution of this new generation of traders.
I will observe the Tuchman meme, and I will make an analysis, a statistical analysis for you. Maybe it's worth to have a Tuchman indicator. Let's see in the future what will come out. I will share the results with you, okay?
That'd be great. The Einstein indicator. Let's go. Boom.
This indicator must be so smart, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. I really enjoyed the show with you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Manuel. It's always a pleasure, Salah and Manuel.
Thank you, Salah Eddin Boumidi, the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman from the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, thank you, and thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Thank you, and all the best.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.